to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you. Spaghetti meatballs behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And I'm here with my good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss. The day after, I don't know why I've lost my voice. I didn't have a horse in the race or whatever that was. Red Sox, Yankees. Yankees are done. 6-2. They're out. I watched the game at Tony P's with Spaghetti and meatballs and Babyface Joel Solomon. I have to say, Shaq, your boy Spaghetti, I have not watched a game with him before, certainly not one of this importance. He spent half the game with his head in his hands and the other half with his head in brisket nachos. But it was sad. It was very sad what went on.
Well, listen, with all respect to the Yankees fans out there, obviously you've had plenty to celebrate over the course of your life. So, too, of Red Sox fans, unless you are of a certain age. My old man, I got to tell you, you know this, Sal. Mm-hmm. If he sees a Red Sox logo, it is the strongest magnet known to man. He will go and bend your ear for the next hour at least, and they'll right. be like, I'm not really a Red Sox fan. I am. I just got the ball cap, and no matter, he's telling you stories about Ted Williams and on, and I watched with him literally half his life ago. Mm-hmm. In 1978, he always, of my earliest sports memories, the old man taking me to see Pitt football, Tony Dorsett and the Steelers and everything. So in 78, when he said, we got to watch this Red Sox game, I assumed that was our team. And I ended up heartbroken when Yaz popped out to Greg Nettles there in 78.
Oh, really? And then you were a Pirate 40, fan just a year later. To watch
a year
them
later,
the
I jumped ship. Yes. Yeah, I backed up. He stuck with the Red Sox. And despite four rings and Mookie and Aaron Boone and all of that, he is just still desperate to beat the Yankees. So, listen, whatever happens to him going forward, I'm glad the old man got over on the Yankees in a one-game play.
Well, that's good. But I'll say, watching last night, and I was like, all right, I'm relieved. The Parlay Kid, Brother Bry, all these a-hole Yankee fans, I don't have to deal with them. But then I remember, like, not that I had forgotten at all, but the Henches and the Simmons and all those other Red Sox fans that we deal with. My God. Just the worst. Daniel, the worst, the worst, the worst. So now we're all Rays fans for the next few days.
Alien How are you feeling? Versus Predator.
Spaghetti, you doing okay the day after here?
I am not doing well at all. I don't know. I was thinking about it after our lovely hangout, Sal, and like what the issue is, and people want to blame Cole. It's like, okay, cool. We gave him $324 million, but if we didn't, someone else would have, and he pretty much got us there. He was the only non-injured starter to get us in the rotation, so I can't really blame him. Also, if you told me that he's going to be taken out, giving up three runs, well, if the Yankees weren't going to score three runs or more, then it's the offense's fault. So it's just one of those scenarios where I don't know what the fix is. I mean, you know, we traded for a gal who wasn't great for us, but am I upset by giving up those prospects? No, not really, because the prospects are meaningless. So, you know, DJ LeMahieu, obviously the hernia. I don't know. I don't know what the fix is. They fire Boone. So what? The managers in baseball are just robots at this point. It's all based on analytics.
It's so funny. Spaghetti was yelling. He was getting arguments with Yankee fans after the game. They're like, Boone's got to go. And he's like, it's not Boone's fault. And then someone else is like, oh, what the hell, Cole? He's like, oh, Cole got us there. I'm like, oh, boy. There's really and I know it's an emotional thing. I would say, like, you're a young Yankee fan, Spaghetti. This is probably one of the worst losses you've endured, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, losing to the Sox in a one-game playoff because – you know, I have seen some people say stuff like, well, if the Yankees did get in, like they're a team you probably don't want to face in a series. And that's true. I mean, I'm not going to complain about the rules of baseball. It is what it is. You got to win the playing game to get there. And if the Yankees won one more game, they could have been at home for this one. If they won a few more, they obviously, I mean, they had to deal with the whole COVID thing. So many injuries, like 91 wins for this team is underachieving and overachieving at the same time, because on paper, they should win over 100 games. But if you look back and see what happened with the injuries and like all the COVID stints, getting to 91 after their first half of the season is pretty impressive. So I don't know.
This all is right. Just, I'm happy for it.
I have see? a million bad thoughts.
91 wins.
Why are you laughing, Martin? Why is this amusing to you?
It is. It's something about when Spaghetti gets going and he starts answering his own questions that always makes me laugh. Like, I don't know what it's like. Should we fire the manager? Doesn't matter. Managers are robots in baseball anyway.
Am I upset? Maybe.
Maybe. But yeah. I might be upset.
Babyface Joel Solomon.
Underachieved at the same time. It just always makes me laugh. Sorry. It's not laughing at him. It's just with him.
Can this team, what's with the chemistry here?
Nine goddamn teams, nine goddamn NL teams outscored the Yankees this season. That's without a DH. That's insane. And I mean, Martin and the receptionist at work have more chemistry than this team.
Oh, wow.
There's no goddamn chemistry. All of them.
It's like four of them.
I sat in that parking lot for 15 minutes and just sat there. This is... I'm done with the NL playoff. With the playoffs, this is
he's done with the NL playoffs. It didn't even start yet. Technically, all right.
I can't even.
I'd like to remind Joel that he was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not in New York City. This diehard Yankee stuff is weird. If you are a Yankees fan, it almost is more Red Sox-y or Cubs-y or whatever. You know. It's remarkable how fast it's the product of being being the parent of an A student for all these years, which is rooting for the Yankees. You're supposed to win. And when you don't, it's devastation. Somebody brought home that your kid brought home a B+ and the sky is falling. But I mean, Giancarlo's two swings, those two balls fly a little higher over that green monster. It may be in a different yard. It's a completely different story.
I mean, I know it has to go. I know it has to go over the fence, but I really think it should be up to the, 85-year-old announcer. If he sees it as a home run, then it's a home run. Why are we screwing around here?
The second one, the second swing when it left the bat, didn't, I mean, I can't imagine what it was like surrounded by other people. I was watching
like
alone, but
yeah. Everybody
in the joint must have figured that was a go ball, right?
For sure. But then,
at that point.
I don't know what to think. You could blame Boone and you could blame Nevin, and Boone certainly had his opportunity to turn this team around. But I don't want to bottom line it here, but a $36 million a year pitcher needs to get it done. And those bats were stifled early. So for this one game, I think that's where you place blame. But baseball's in a little bit of trouble if the Dodgers don't win tonight, right? Like, Hench was on -3 talking about Yankees, Dodgers, 27-1 odds on FanDuel. You can get them to meet up in the World Series. You can't get that anymore. You probably could, I mean, if you ask around, but you'd be stupid to take it. The Yankees are done. The Dodgers could be done, too. We'll get to that a little later. We're also going to get to Bumper Poole. You know him. Arkansas, Razorback linebacker. He's our NLI guy. NIL guy, NLI. I made something
name,
up
name, image, likeness, Sal.
You
please.
Know it, Jack.
That's what
you
it know. Is.
We gave him some loot, and we're going to get his name out, and he's going to get ours out, and he's going to check in with us in a few minutes. I do want to say, for FanDuel, I was looking at this. Someone cashed a same-game parlay. This is insane. The odds were +49,534. Kyle Schwarber hits a home run. Anthony Rizzo hits a home run. Xander Bogaerts hits a home run, and Giancarlo Stanton hit a home run, and they all happened. But how much this guy or woman must have been losing their mind with the Stanton at-bats, right? You should have had two, then you finally get one. It paid $24,817.49. Good job by you. I'm not even sure who this says. It says, at would you look, Twitter. So I don't know who that is, but wow, that is something else. 50,000 to one, check. We got to hit one of those.
Sweet Jesus, that's amazing. I don't know if it was 50,000 to one, but I do want to say, in defense of Phil Nevin, I understand the circumstance. You don't send the runner in that spot. But Bogaerts' play was dynamite. It got glossed over a little bit too quickly. Like, did the third base coach make a mistake sending him? It obscures the fact. I mean, that was so lightning quick, how quick he – I mean, me swooning over what a – a superhuman athlete did. But, I mean, really, he turned the ball and flipped it on the dime quicker
than
about
as quickly as I've ever
seen.
And the throw is great. If it's a foot to the right, it's got to be a swipe tag, and then it's 50-50, and Nevin's like, oh, my God, that's aggressive calling on the base pads there, you know? That was rough. That took the air out of him. Oh, boy, Tony Pease was up. Tables being flipped on that one. I wish I had recorded that. Instead, I only got a couple of stills of Spaghetti with his dejected with his head down on the table. Well, you'll get them next year. Dodgers, Cardinals. Well, let's do that now. I think we might as well. Dodgers, Cardinals. Dodgers -235. The take back for the Cardinals is +194. The over under is 7.5. This is not a fresh take, but the Dodgers shouldn't be in this game. They just shouldn't. 106 is too many wins, Sheck. I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't think, I certainly don't think the Giants should have to play the winner of this, right? That's not giving the Giants a break if you're so into a division winner should, you know, be get some kind of leverage here. But 106, I don't know. I think we in every other facet, we appreciate the regional differences. They're acknowledged, right? Like we get more electoral votes here in California because we have a ton more people than all the Dakotas combined. I think there's 11 Dakotas. And that works out great. No one disagrees with that politically, right? No, but honestly, honestly, they have to fix this. They're not going to fix it before tonight. I'm going Dodgers in the over. Perfect 11-0 when Scherzer starts. Nine of them coming by two or more runs. I think he had 13 strikeouts against the Cardinals. He's pitched game 7 in the World Series, won his last 3 postseason decisions. Wainwright, Betts hitting 500 against him. Turner hitting 333 against him. That's Justin Trey hitting 357. Cardinals lost 3 out of 5 down the stretch, as hot as they were with that 17-game streak. But I'm going Dodgers and the over on a parlay. Sheck?
First of all, I can't believe you say I don't know how you feel about this. Of course I don't like, you know, one game playoffs and all this jive. The Dodgers shouldn't be in the postseason, period. I advocate that you have one pennant winner on both sides, have them play a best of 9 like they used to in 1920, and that would be that. But of course, fan engagement trumps and TV ratings.
Well, but
trumps,
the only reason I don't know how you feel about it is because you're a little skittish about giving Georgia and Alabama a bid into a Final Four when they're clearly the two best teams.
No, I'm being consistent, right? Whoever wins the SEC gets the one and only bid out of the SEC.
Oh, you're saying the Dodgers shouldn't be in the playoffs, you're saying?
Is that what you're saying? I mean, that's the way the cookie crumbled. It's unfortunate.
Oh, you're a lunatic.
You know where else we saw this?
Yeah.
Well, what are we still swooning about? Maybe I just am, but I mean, there were songs sung before the game last night about the 78-1 game playoff and Fenway and all the import of Bucky Dent and everything else. That is owed to the fact that you only got one team from that division into the postseason. That's what's juicy. It's unfortunate.
So if you
are the second best team in baseball and you happen to be in the same division with the best team in baseball, but that's the way it goes.
There are a lot of unfortunate tragedies, but that could be avoided because this is baseball and we can make rules. But if you went into the season and says, look, Dodgers, you can go 161-1. But if the Giants go 162-0, sorry, you're out. Sheck says that's it. I know that doesn't add
that
up.
That is how I feel. You just hit the nail on the head.
I'm going to hit a nail on your head. This is insane. So they should just.
All right, well,
Dodgers should try to get out of this division then for the next few years and then just try to get back in. Because
they've won the division 8 years in a row or whatever it's been. So it's not like they've fallen on hard luck or anything. It's everybody else with the, I thought it was, by the way, striking when A-Rod advocated for the Red Sox and Yankees in the division there. And like, hey, the Rays are smarter than you. There's nothing you can do about that. You have to lean on your superpower of just outspending everybody, which is funny. And the Dodgers are in a funny spot with that. They do a nice job of growing their own, but they also cash in on the Max Scherzers and Trey Turners of the world. So give me the Dodgers with the run and a half. My pick, though, is Scherzer is the latest guy who they brought in. But talk about homegrown. Corey Seager continues what he started or finished in the 2020 postseason when he was the MVP. He picks up. I like the narrative of, like, Corey Seager, still the clutch bat for them. He goes yard in Dodger Stadium in the Dodgers victory. Corey Seager home run plus 380.
Okay, that's your. I don't know. I'm sorry. I barely heard what you said. I mean, I just don't understand, Martin, why he wants to kill sports. He doesn't want any of the good teams in the playoffs.
Well,
he just
part of it is, I mean, isn't it this all the controversy drives it, right? And isn't the same thing that happens in the NFL? If you have when the Saints went to Seattle and they played 7-9 Seattle,
it's worse in baseball. It's just such a long season. You're putting up 106 wins. It just seems worse. I don't know. Am I babyface? Do you have anything to say here?
But Martin is exactly right. I don't even know which side you're on here, Martin, but you're making my point for me either way, which is to say the drama is at its highest because of this. You win that many games and you don't even get to play in the postseason. That sucks. That's drama.
That's
rivalry and everything else. That's what we love about sports.
Everything could be a one game playoff and you have the most drama you could ever create. It's not about having drama. It's got to be fair too, right?
Well, college basketball has that.
Why don't they play one inning?
But
you get three pitches. If you could, whoever hits it furthest.
I fundamentally like. Do I like it? Not. I don't care too much about it. Like, I would hate it if it was my team. Like, I hated watching the Saints having to go after winning 11 games only because I think the Falcons won 12 that year and they ended up winning a division. Like, and, you know, obviously they were the two best teams in the NFC that whole time. But then you go up to Seattle and you have the Beastquake run. It's one of the most iconic plays in NFL history and one that's still, you know, I see it and I feel like Spaghetti fine. Did yesterday.
Martin, smart. Wow, I love Martin. He's such a smart guy for a young fella. He really gets it. He gets what's great about sports.
Look, there's no 4 out of 7 in football. I get it. So it has to be single elimination. If you don't show up on that particular Sunday, so be it. That's how it is. But baseball is based on series. It's a season full of series. All right. I don't know if I can't convince you. If you don't think the Dodgers belong in the playoffs, I don't know what to tell you.
I do think your point has valid. It's valid, though. Baseball is a series with 3 games at a time, 4 games
Thank
at a time.
You.
That does make Thank sense. You. It's weird, but also.
Thank you, Martin, for saying I make sense.
I'm here for the drama.
Playoffs. Hey, extrapoints.com/arcade. It's going to have a baseball quiz. It has an NFL prop contest that Brad Heyman won. Now, nobody knows him because he's just some guy who entered this contest. He got 13 out of 15. I say his name like people are going to know him. Good job by you, Brad. You win that. Austin Miller wins our prop quiz contest. He got 6 out of 10. And Cousin Sal Icano, 13 out of 19 in the college pool. I won that. Hundreds of people joined,
wow,
which is crazy. It's against the spread, so it's 19 games, and you're like, okay, I'm like, I'm not giving it a ton of thought, I'll be honest with you. But why this is particularly interesting is, on Against All Odds, every week we pick 3 or 4 college games on Friday. I'm 1-9 in my last 10. I don't know how I went 13-19. We got to figure this out. but anyway, there you go. 13 out of 19, I win. I get a nice prize. I'm happy for that. So, like I said, this week's football contests are live. We'll have an MLB one up later in the day. Extrapoints.com/arcade. Extrapoints.com/arcade. All right, our guy, let's bring him in.
Oh, he's going to be a great one to ask about exactly what we're talking about here, Sal, is the merit of winning your conference, even if it's the mighty SEC. Should second place get the move on? Well, I can't wait. Let's talk to Bumper about it.
I mean, there's 75 good teams in that conference. I think I know what he's going to say. What's happening, Bumper? Bumper Pool, Arkansas Razorback, dynamite linebacker. He's on with us. We loved him. We fell in love with his name. And we want to get his name out, and we tasked him to get our name out. What's going on, Bumper?
Not much. How y'all doing?
Well, I feel like we jinxed you. You guys were undefeated, and then you signed on with us. And then, you know, you lost a close one to Georgia. What was it, 37-0? I'm sorry. I think we just need to apologize.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good football team. I don't think it was any, you know, extra point jinx by any means.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Because you could back
it was
out
37
now.
Points. Understand.
Yeah, 37 extra points. You had 11 tackles. I got to say, I'm excited. Every Saturday, people sending me highlights of Bumper's tackles. He had 11. He has 49 overall. And yeah, so that must have been a rough one. But you seem to play all the way through, which we appreciate.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a good football team. We're not discouraged by any means, but you know, there's no quit over here.
Now, you're at Ole Miss this week. It doesn't get easy. Well, I guess it gets a little easier. They got blown out by Alabama, but there's another tough one. Matt Corral is second in the Heisman odds. Are you watching tape on him all week? What do you do to try to get an advantage over a guy like this who just slings it, has a great arm, and sees everyone open better than most of the fellas out there?
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss runs our similar offense, so I mean, we're kind of going against him every day. He's obviously, mm-hmm. you know, Heisman, you know, front runner or whatnot, but this defense, it creates challenges. It makes you have to be patient and disciplined. And so we're going to try to make him, you know, take the underneath route all right.
Yeah.
Bumper, you are the representative of the SEC here on Extra Points. So you have to answer this tough question. And by the way, as we go forward with you, can't wait to hear your thoughts on Corral after seeing him up close and getting your Heisman pick there. But in the meantime, let's say Georgia and Bama both are undefeated and they play in the title game. And do you think, without really engaging in Big Ten and Cincinnati and all that, what do you think of both of them taking up two of the four available slots in the Final Four. Is that the right thing to do?
I think the four best teams should be picked. And, you know, we played Georgia, and I definitely believe that they're the best of the four. You know, we're going to get a taste of Alabama in our second to last game. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to probably be just as good. And if we feel how they look on tape, then yes, I believe there's probably should be two.
That's very diplomatic. That's the answer. I believe the four best teams should be in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
That's exactly the answer. Check. And then you have
Bumper, how do we measure who's best when it's all the same division, Division 1A or whatever they call it now? It's all Division 1A. If you're Cincinnati and you go undefeated and you have what case can there possibly be that, like, yeah, the team that lost the game in the same division 1A, yeah, they're still better because we know it deep down in our hearts we get. It's like, what else can we do? We went undefeated. You got to put us into the Final Four, right? Argue against that, Bumper.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm playing college football and not on the committee. We'll leave that to smart guys.
Bumper, do your teammates talk about this as much as we do? Idiots like us talk about this? Or is it just like, let's just beat who's in front of us?
I mean, the season's so long.
Or do you rank them in your heads? Yeah, right.
The season's so long where it's got to be, you know, I mean, you're just thinking about next week. You know, you can't even think about the playoff because that's, you know, so far away. You got so much work to do, honestly, to even get to that point. But honestly, like, we, you know, we lost to Georgia, but, you know, we're still undefeated in the West. So, we still got all of our goals that we want to reach. And so we just got to take it, you know, one week by week and start with Ole Miss.
Listen, that's nice that you have goals. But to make Damashek here happy, you should get talking with your coach and the athletic director and have Arkansas secede from the SEC and join the MAC. And then you'll run the table. You'll go 12-0 and there'll be no doubt. You'll get one vote from Dave, who doesn't have a vote.
I don't have one, right? But yeah. That's what you should talk about. You should start campaigning on, you know, one hand washes the other pool. You know, you're making a little bank now. Now you got to help your pal Dave out and get him onto the on the committee here.
He's a rich man to us.
Absolutely.
What do you does Matt Corral, from what you've seen in studying him so far, is this going to be, do you suppose, maybe the best QB you'll see all season, as much as you can gauge that in advance?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, he's going to be a great challenge, but, you know, we play in the SEC where every quarterback that we face is going to be good. You know, Bama's got a good quarterback. But, yeah, up to this point, he's going to be one of the best we've played, and we're excited to see what he's going to be about.
I want to ask, going to Arkansas, did that factor in, like, the idea that if you went to a smaller school like a Cincinnati or a non-Power 5 school and you went undefeated? If you're Arkansas and you're undefeated, you're going to be in the playoff, right? Because you won the SEC. Did that factor in when you were making your decision to go to Arkansas? Like, the idea that if we go undefeated, we'll be rewarded for it?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the same thing with, like, recruits want to go to the NFL. Everybody knows that the scouts and everybody, they favor the SEC just because of the talent that's there. So any kid that wants to, you know, make it to the next level, I think you look at it like, if I go to the SEC, do well, I have a better shot than having to be an All-American in a smaller conference, which is a lot harder to do, to get my exposure and to be able to get to the NFL. So, but yeah, to answer your question, that probably was a factor as well.
What was it like with the family breakdown? How many schools were you considering at the time? Do you even remember?
You know, I had a bunch of different offers, like Bama and Michigan and A&M, but, you know, I had family ties to Arkansas. So for me, it was kind of like, where do I feel most comfortable? And Arkansas was like home, to be honest.
That's really it. I think it's a lot of people's answers, right? Like, you don't want your family to disown you. And Arkansas is pretty damn good. So why not?
Oh, yeah. Listen, Bumper's savvier than just that, Sal. He's playing the long game. You mentioned it before. Who else went to Arkansas? Jerry Jones. That's who. That is Bumper. Yeah. Bumper, we heard news after we kibitzed last week that, you know, that there were photos taken. We got all those sorts of stuff.
Right.
You're pretty entrenched there with the Dallas Cowboys short-term future, I feel.
Well, hold on. We don't have to read into it. They dropped Jalen Smith yesterday to make room for Bumper. I mean, that's basically
Van Der Esch, no fifth-year exception.
Yeah.
Linebackers are
right.
Just
promise at work.
Just promise me you won't take number 9 when you go to Dallas, Bumper. That's just if you can make us one promise.
That's for Tony Romo, sure.
Okay, there you go. See, he knows how it works. All right, Bumper, now we asked you to make a video. Like I said, we love your name. We don't love our name as much, but we wanted you to try to get it out there, extra points. We asked that you play the podcast, maybe the one that you were on last week, in front of friends or family or in the dining hall or in the locker room. And I think we have a video here. Do we have it, fellas?
Everybody getting paced.
All right, so we're going to play that. We're going to post that on Twitter. But it basically, you handed the phone, I think your phone, to a few players. Is that in the locker room or those friends? What? Who were those people?
I don't know if I can say where exactly it is at.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. But yeah, no, those were close friends. And I was like, hey, Google this podcast, look it up for me. And I was going around, just kind of snapping little videos and
nice.
And yeah.
And what was the takeaway? I mean, maybe they just listened to the opening part there, or maybe did anyone like it, or like, what, dude, what the hell are you doing to me? I'm busy here. What were some of the comments?
Well, they asked him kind of like what they saw, kind of like I was in a deal with the podcast, and I was like, hey, this is the podcast. Give it a listen. There's honestly some funny stuff. I mean, I saw like Tyson Fury was on the deal on your question. That was huge. I mean, we got a bunch of Tyson Fury fans, and so they're like, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll be in the video. I'm like, well, you might be on the internet. So I'm like, cool.
Oh, all right. Well, that's great. What do you think, Shaq? All right, that's a good start, right?
Well, I just want Bumper. I want Bumper to understand this is a no jive zone. And if any of your pals or you even feel like, hey, the guy with the annoying voice, he needs to talk less, just say it. You know, I can take it. Go ahead.
That's I didn't get any comments.
Hurt my feelings. Oh, no. Okay, good. That's a victory.
Yeah, you're good.
All right, Bumper. We will check in with you. Thanks so much, and I appreciate the video. This is good. This is going well. I'm going to check, you know, because regionally we could see how well we're doing. And our numbers in Arkansas, if they go up, this is terrific. It's a terrific relationship already.
I got got some benchmarks to hit.
There you go. There you go. Bumper Pool.
Let's take over the SEC region of Sports America, you know?
Let's
Who's claimed it, Sal? Nobody, really.
I think Bumper's anybody claimed doing it. He had 11 tackles last week. He's got 49 this year. It's Bumper Pool's conference.
Go corral that Matt fella and let's get some buzz around Bumper Pool in the Heisman bid.
I'm about
right?
to say, Matt, he could end that Heisman talk right now.
Do it, and he could be up there in the ranks himself. All right, Bumper, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, I saw on FanDuel, there is a, with Cowboys Giants, Saquon and Zeke, 2 or more combined touchdowns and 150 or more combined rushing yards. You get plus 450. That's not to say, you
what?
Know, one of them could do most of that, right? Like, so if Saquon gets 2 touchdowns.
Saquon and Zeke, 2 touchdowns and 150 combined rushing yards?
Yeah, that's not bad, right? For plus 450, I think Saquon's back a little bit. We know Zeke is getting some carries and getting the goal line carries for sure. He has 2nd in rushing touchdowns in the league. What's the matter, Martin? You don't like that?
No, I just can't think of the last 100-yard game that I had seen either one of those guys.
They don't need it. They need 75 each.
The point,
but
right?
That's what I understand, but I'm saying, like, I don't know. I feel like that taps out at, like, Saquon with 75 yards, Zeke with 62 and a touchdown.
That's not good. That doesn't win.
It's just rushing yards, right? Not receiving yards.
That's just rushing. Yes, rushing yards.
I don't know. Touchdown. That gives me cause for that will give me a little qualms.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sal. You better get used to the new world order, and that includes the Dallas Cowboys having a good defense. So the idea that Martin actually kind of gives me pause there is Saquon might get 150 total yards through the air and ground, but man, the Cowboys are for real.
I think so too,
as well as offensively.
I just think it's going to be a very bad week for Eddie Spaghetti. I mean, Notre Dame goes to Virginia Tech, right? And then the Yankees yesterday. And I'd be a little more nervous about this Giants team if they hadn't beaten the Saints, snuck up on them. Maybe that lights a fire under the Cowboys' ass. And B, it's Jason Garrett. I don't know that he could put together a game plan, but they'll score like 30, 35 points, which I think they'll need to do. Covering is a different story. It's down to 7, but I think the Cowboys win.
Guys like Mike McCarthy understand one thing.
Oh, he's
bad. Well, for all the slings and arrows that he perhaps rightly gets. Guys like that are all about like, gotta win the division. The division games are everything, and that is true.
Why are you
that
making a? You're making fun of them, but that's exactly your point in the last half hour.
Yeah. You know I love Mike McCarthy. I asked him once before the Super Bowl what his favorite meat is on his Primanti sandwich,
and what
his security guards. His security guards were trying to get him off the field. They're like, "This is the Super Bowl, man!" Like I'm like, "Hey, coach, what's your best meat to put onto Primanti's?" And they were like, "Oh," like trying to get him away, and he like stopped and he shrugged them both off, and he turned around. And he thought for a moment, and then he said, cap. And then he turned and he walked around. He liked the Capicola. See? So, you know, he's good with me. But, yes,
I think he's one of those old school guys. That shows me that he gets distracted. He shouldn't be distracted by your nonsense. He gets distracted by clock management, and this is where we get in trouble. He's thinking of cap.
Well, he understands. We got to take care of business. Let's knock down the Giants, and we're that much closer to the inevitable, which is the NFC East title in 2020.
Oh, man, how great.
I tell you what, I think I really do think that it's coming down. This is what's the fall and the collapse of the Dallas Cowboys. If it happens, which I think it has a better shot than everybody's penciling them in to win the division. Everybody's penciling them in to win the See, that's what people are writing in Sharpie. Exactly. Cap. This is how Mike McCarthy's going to lose his job. This is what's going to happen. He's going to end up getting fired because everybody's going to talk about how great this Cowboys team is. Yeah. And I understand the Cowboys are. They're good, but I mean, I don't think that they're the class of the NFC like apparently the rest of the world.
No, they don't have to be that. They could lose in the first round of the playoffs. No one would be shocked. No one's putting them in the Super Bowl. The Packers are better. The Bucks are still better once they get their defense in order.
And the Rams, they'll get hyperbolic to make. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The Cowboys are. What it is the context that matters is that they're infinitely better than the rest of the division that they're in.
That's
the answer.
They don't have to be great. Talk about Mike McCarthy. Let's discuss another coach here. This Urban Meyer fiasco. I've not spoken about it with you guys, except maybe Martin a little bit. I'm going to take the man show approach here and say that. It's just weird that he would say, I've lost the trust of the players. I think like a lot of the players would be like, yeah, go for it, coach. First of all, there's a couple things here. If they beat the Bengals, if the Bengals miss that field goal and it goes to overtime and the Jags win, is this as big a deal? I say no. Even though no coach ever stays behind and doesn't fly with them. The second thing is they're like, hey, you got to be more of a role model and all this thing. It's like, if the guy stayed back and there were pictures of him in line waiting to see the many saints of Newark, and I would be pissed at that. I'd be like, what are you doing? This is why you stayed back. You could watch this on TV. No, he's having fun in a bar getting grind on. It made sense. People were saying, oh, this makes no sense that he stayed behind. It's like, yeah, it does. Look what's going on. It makes all the sense in the world if that's what you're into. Now he has to square it away with his wife and everybody else, but that's the weird thing. The other thing is that he doesn't have the trust of the locker room. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of these players would be like, you go, coach. It'd just be a lot different had they been winning or even won that last game, right?
I don't know, Sal. I don't know. When's the last time you've ever seen an NFL head coach in a bar, sans Jay Gruden? Right, and that picture was from they literally took the picture out when Washington was trying to like put him out on the ice floe and send him out. Like NFL head coaches don't do stuff like this. You want to talk about your quarterback is supposed to be the CEO? Like people, when Lamar Jackson came out, can he be the face of an organization? Your head coach is actually the face of your organization. This person is answering all the questions. The idea that I don't really give a damn that he was in the bar and dancing with the girl. But the idea that it's on camera, that we saw it, TJ put me onto this on Tuesday on the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. He can't not fly back with the team. If you want to stay in Ohio, fly back with the team, because we're looking at this like regular people. Fly back with the team, charter a private jet because you're Urban Meyer, and fly back to Ohio if you want to go spend the rest of your weekend with your family.
That's fine. I get it. And a friend of mine who was in the Cowboys organization is like, geez, we got blown out by 50 in Lambeau, and even Wade flew back to get fired. You know, like they know, and it's outrageous, and no one's ever seen it before. But I also don't think it's as big a deal in the locker room as everyone's saying. I just don't. I don't know.
I think that what's damning is exactly what Martin's talking about and what you're both talking about, which is not getting on the plane and what the hell. And that's what he stayed back for, was to play grab ass, to stick his thumb where the sun don't shine and all that kind
of
stuff.
That makes sense.
The word that we keep hearing is optics. Of, I mean, I don't know if you mean that literally, Martin, about like coaches don't do that. What coaches don't do is get caught on camera doing
That's what I mean. Like the idea that we coaches, saw it.
The idea that coaches are all bubble wrapped and watching film and getting ready for the next week's opponent at every waking hour is naive. You know, obviously they are grown ups who go out and do stuff that you may tisk at and moralize about, but they still do it. And the difference is that it is dumb to get caught on camera if you're Urban Meyer. That's the issue. I mean, the marital morality and all that. What, I mean, please, let's talk about the wisdom of being the head man, the face of the franchise, and getting caught like that. What I love though is the response from the owner that like he's gonna have to re-earn our trust. Like what? By not putting his thumb where the sun? I mean, like what? Is there like a thing hanging in the locker room?
That's
now?
The
like,
trust.
Days
thing
without his thumb not disappearing where it doesn't belong in a bar. Like how? What number does it have to get to? But like,
three.
He's re-earned our trust now.
Well, I think the reality of the situation is how much does this team trust Urban Meyer already before this incident happened? Before he went to the True. Urban Meyer Pine House, right? Like he hired Chris Doyle from Iowa. That didn't work out. He did the whole quarterback competition with Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence. One was the first overall pick. The other one doesn't play on the team anymore. Mm-hmm. He did the Tebow thing. Right. He's walking into meetings. He's kicking, like, there's reports that he's interrupting his like the skill position coaches and interrupting all the different meetings, trying to just micromanage everything. It doesn't seem like anything is going well there.
All right, maybe I'm wrong.
I just don't.
Well, what do we think? Do we think, because there will be a point of no return, right? So if he makes it like to week 9, they'll be like, there's a month and a half left. Are we going to fire him? So I think it happens soon, or I think he stays. What do you guys feel?
They better run off some victories. That'll make everything feel fine. I think it's that simple. They win a few games, people will be like, all right, well, maybe we can make this work. They just continue to head south. People are going to be, this is untenable. We can't do this. And then you feel bad for the coaches in the college pipeline who might get an NFL shot. That's going to be like, see, Nick Saban plus this equals you can never hire a college coach for the next decade.
All right, now, there's a sign. The dog, my dog, stupid as all get out, just walked through the room and then walked out. Take the dog. Take the Jags over the Titans. They're going to figure out a way to win. That's what it means.
If I were to set an over-under of 25 more games coached by Urban Meyer for the Jaguars, do you take the over or the under right now?
25?
Who would bet that? Who would take the over in that?
Well, I mean, does that include playoff games? That includes playoff games, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah. So, I'm going under. I'm going way under.
No, I'm saying, well, you're talking about either he's going to get fired soon or stay, right?
No, either way, I think he's gone by the end after the year.
Okay.
But do they get a midseason is what I'm thinking.
All right. Because I'm about to say, Urban Meyer is not making it longer than, like, he won't be there in 2022.
We talk about wanting fun and drama and all that in sports. Let's root for a victory for Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, and the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend, because that would be very
fun. I think it'll be fun.
Because then that let's root for that.
Yeah, that's fine. They have, what is it? Lions are favored, FanDuel.com/extra points. Go to it. They have who will be the first team to win out of these, out of the undefeated teams. I'm going to find this.
I got it. Last winless team in 2021, the Detroit Lions are -180 and the Jacksonville Jaguars are +160.
Is that accurate? I don't know. Or should it be flipped? Now, based on this week, what do we have? We have the Jaguars play the Titans. They're an absolute mess. And the Lions, they have to be home, aren't they? Are they not home this week?
The Lions have the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, the Vikings. All right. Well, they'll win one of those. Yeah, I guess odds-wise, the Jaguars have a better shot at this week of winning. But I don't know. I still think the Texans are the worst of all those teams, even though they have a win. But and I think Goff gets a win in there or two just by accident.
I do think in our ever-increasingly pious society, the residents of Mount Pius would be screaming from the peak this week about Dan Campbell's remark. Did you see what he said? That coffee ain't doing it for me anymore.
No, that's not real.
He doesn't want to get up to Mount Pius.
That wasn't real. No, it was fake. It was fake.
I thought that was completely believable that he would say something.
I took it and ran with it for an hour and a half, too. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. With the snow and everything? I got to do snow?
Yeah, with the snow. I would be like, oh, that's completely believable that he would crack wise like that, even though it was a joke. Even if he said it, it would have been a joke. But anyway.
The whole world has turned into an Onion headline, and especially in the coaching ranks of the NFL, for sure. It doesn't make sense. Sheck, though, you're hitting well. By the way, I'm killing everybody in our extra points pool just week to week. I get 12 wins, 11 wins. I think I had 10 this week, so I'm way ahead there. But, Sheck, you've done a good job predicting some of these West outcomes. And when you go by division winners, I think six are similar, the same as the preseason. So if you go by division winners, the Bills are now minus 500. They were a prohibitive favorite to win that division before the season. Not 500, but now they're ahead. The Ravens and Browns, it's such a coin flip. The Ravens are plus 105, Browns plus 110. Going into the season, it was kind of coin flippy too. The Titans are minus 270, even though they suck. They lost to the Jets, but everyone else is so bad. So they were preseason.
We told you that. We definitely talked about that number of times that the AFC South was going, that 21 was going to equal the NFC East of 2020.
I think
you
worse.
Could see that this was going to be, right. This is going to be a garbage division.
I think so too. The West, Jack, you picked the Chargers to win. Now the Chargers beat the Chiefs and then look great Monday night for most of the game, not the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter when they almost let the Raiders back in. But that defense, more than anything, is spectacular. And we talked about it Monday night at halftime. Martin, you and I, the three of us did. But the Chiefs still favored, minus 105. The 2-2 Chiefs, minus 105, Sheck. Chargers 240.
I don't understand it. I mean, the thing that I've been confused by for 6 months at least is why would the Ravens be the bigger favorite? I know it's close, but still over the Browns. At this point, it's strange that the Chargers haven't become the favorite there. But the Chiefs, we're already getting into like that thing where you get swept up in the next chapter and how it's going to impact the results come New Year's Day and beyond. But all of a sudden, like, the Bills and the Chiefs play a big game, a big leverage game for January now. Bills win that one. Now it feels like it's to me, because I'm still I'm consistent with thinking the Chargers are the best team in the conference, but the Bills really, really enter that conversation with a victory against the Chiefs. And then the Chiefs are in some legit peril. They're definitely then almost already this
well,
early
I don't know. If the Chargers
season,
lose to the Browns,
kind of doomed to be.
It's not, I get it. But if
well,
you
right.
Gain,
that's
if you
the
gain
these
game
are, those
it.
Are the
you
two games.
Game on,
those are the two biggest games.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
this is everything. What this week? I think we will look back in the wild card round, in advance of the wild card, and say it all swung that week because how these two games between the four best teams probably in the conference shake out is going to determine a lot with the seeding that we'll see come January.
But I think the Chiefs are probably favored just because people aren't going to try. Like, no one feels good about betting against Patrick Mahomes. I did it for 13 straight weeks, and it was successful. But I felt terrible every time because, you know, you just assume that the magic man is going to make it happen. So I think that's really what it boils down to. But I think Monday night, I mean, if you didn't know it already, Justin Herbert can play. He's nice. When he's on target, he's putting the ball in people's face masks. He's ridiculous.
I'm impressed with that defense, too. So whatever, Heineke, they kept him under yards. They kept Dak under 220 yards. They kept Carr didn't get to 200, right? And and Mahomes, they kept him under. Like, they're doing fantastic things on defense. All the West, I mean, you could go crazy with analyzing the West, and you can make a case for any team out of the eight in the AFC and the NFC. But the one thing – boy, does FanDuel and the sportsbook show Denver Broncos some love. They were plus 156 to not make the playoffs. I love that after they beat the Jets. Now they're still plus 106 to the I like them not to make the playoffs. I don't think they're one of the teams. What do you think they're over under for wins is right now? The adjusted total for wins.
9?
Yeah, maybe 8.
9.5. You have to go over 9. Wouldn't you go under? Like, this is a 9-8 team. If they win 10 in that division, that's spectacular. I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it at all with Denver. I'm just looking looking at these overall.
Who have they? They haven't played anybody. So, I mean,
no,
it's not crazy to think that they're going to go 1-5 in their division.
Their wins were against 0-9 teams going into this week against Baltimore, where they showed no offense. All right, obviously, Teddy Bridgewater was out. Who knows how long he'll be out for. Your Steelers could help my case here, Sheck, by winning. They were a 1-point underdog, 1.5 point. Now they're a 1.5 point favorite. You have to win this game to be taken seriously the rest of the way.
You think?
Yes, I think so. Because I was looking at their win total. What do you think their win total is?
I thought it was you, or maybe it was Hench asked me a couple days ago. It's bad. It's like 6.5.
It's exactly 6.5. So you're one of the few that are sticking with this team, and yet it's a coin flip against a team that's supposed to win 10 games.
Listen, I'm not crazy. The worm turned for me watching the game in Lambeau. You could make, a lot of excuses as a Roethlisberger loyalist because of the offensive line. That was a real problem. In Lambeau, there were no excuses for the missed passes. You can go back and if you're being overly protective of Roethlisberger, Herbert on down overthrew some passes this past week too. The problem is Roethlisberger missed two probable touchdown passes to Juju, plus missed some very easy crossers, some rudimentary type of throws that a pro quarterback has to make. All that being said, this thing about they need to put Mason Rudolph in now is a little loco based on Roethlisberger's contributions to the organization over his career. He's got to get it right this week against a good defense. He must win this game. I think he gets that. He's got to start stroking some throws. And I got to tell you, the team is not bad. It really, the Roethlisberger's performance is obscuring the overall team, which is quietly not doing too badly if they can just get a little bit.
I think they're similar to Denver. I think they're similar to Denver, and which is why this is basically a pick 'em. Yes, I think both teams need to get going with this game to prove that they're a contender. I still think 9-8 gets a playoff bid, even in the AFC. Everyone thought it was so mighty.
What I'll say to you, without getting too deep on this team that's 1-3 that probably is irrelevant to most human beings. But I will say this: if they beat Denver and then they come back at home in Heinz and beat the Seahawks, who is not a great team, go into the bye, get all rested up, figure out the rest of the path. Hey, we're on a little roll here. We're starting to put things together. You got to buy my premise that they win two in a row. People will feel much better about things. Now, all of a sudden, with the Chargers beating the Browns in Los Angeles this week, now the Browns are right there. The Bengals lose this week.
You're predicting like a parlay that pays about 15-1 right now with all these Browns and this one. All right.
I'm just making the case that Tomlin is trying to make, which is you can declare the season over, but it doesn't have to be if it breaks this way. So what's he going to say? Yep, season's over with. Let's go with Dwayne Haskins, everybody. We're done anyway, so may as well see what we got for next year.
No, I get it. A way to rationalize them being good is them winning games the next few games.
That's right. Well, okay, so we agree.
I mean, but real thinking about this game going forward, I just think about how Denver had a quarterback in Drew Lock and said, you know what, we're going to bring in some competition. Let's see if Teddy Bridgewater's been a starter in this league. Let's see if he wins his job. What are you shaking your head about? I'm just saying, it seems as if Denver upgraded in their quarterback room, and it may pay off this week as Teddy's out with a concussion.
I want to babyface Joel Solomon jump in here real quick because you're a Steelers fan.
I mean, Dave, we've talked about this for weeks. If the team is good, we all agree the team is good, and there's a lot of season left, but we all know what the glaring problem is. Why don't you fix that problem?
Because the fix is what? The thing Martin is hitting at with Denver and all this talk about, where was the succession plan? The Steelers failed. The only thing I can tell you is, well, first of all, go back and listen to -3 with Jason Luck and 4 this week. I mean, because we talked about.
I'm not going to do that now. We have like 10 minutes left in the podcast. We're going to stop and listen to Jason Luck and 4.
You know what? Let's wrap up the podcast. Okay. And then you should go listen at your leisure.
Martin,
I've been saying this all season. I've been saying this since January. I've not changed my tune. I'm not doing it. There was no reasonable alternative.
That remains the case. You can't say that and also say we've hit quarterback saturation where there's 100 good guys we could put in there. Like there's an alternative. If you hit saturation, that means there's someone being oversaturated. Pick off. I don't know how you did in chemistry or whatever that would be, but saturation means we've hit our limit and everybody is taken care of, right? In terms of the NFL ranks, and you still trot out a quarterback who can't move to his right on a, you know, when he's getting chased by to the left. I don't get it. Like, where's the saturation? And you had no other option.
There, I mean, listen, Roethlisberger, given the contract and the situation that they were in, there was no move that they could make to get out
said,
from
counselor.
Under that deal.
You said, if I order a code red, people listen.
If you...
Okay.
Because I feel like this is a, because you know, for real, I feel like this is a 15, 20 minute conversation. And if for Eddie Spaghetti's ears only... Yeah. And my parents, who I know are listening,
all right.
And I'm not sure who else. You've heard me say this ad nauseum. Uh-huh. There just was no way out from under that. That QB saturation is the answer. That's the happy ending for everybody here. That who's wringing their hands. What are they going to do? What's Pittsburgh going to do? Is this going to be like Terry Bradshaw to Ben Roethlisberger? Doesn't it? Yeah, everybody remember Bobby Brister and Mark Malone? They were terrible. Pittsburgh's going to be like that for another 25 years now. No, there are quarterbacks all over the place in college. There are many quarterbacks with first-round pedigree.
Well, we'll
Derek
see.
Carr, this could be Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, on down. Those are names that could be in play next spring. There will be an answer for that. This time, there were quarterbacks out there. Could the Steelers get them, though, reasonably? No. So they rolled with the future Hall of Famer. One last go around.
Why can't they get
them? Don't be surprised if he wins two in a row.
They got Minkah Fitzpatrick for a first rounder. Like, you could trade to get better, go up and draft, right? Like, that is one alternate way to go about
it. No, the Minkah deal is actually, it's because of the Minkah deal that made it so that they couldn't trade up to get Roethlisberger. What I do advocate, though, is, and this solves two issues, if you like Jordan Love and you're Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin, offer a second to the Packers. Now, the Packers are in great shape because, like, look, now see, Aaron, we did it. Are we done now with this ugly stuff?
I see it from the Packers' perspective because they don't want him, but good luck arguing quarterback saturation when Jordan Love is taking snaps for the Steelers for the next 3 years. So that'll be fun to see how you spin that. Anyway, let's move to Thursday. FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. What was that? I got almost 50,000 to one. Or I'm sorry, plus 50,000 on that same-game parlay. Just keep hitting them. Yes, make it with the Rams and the Seahawks this Thursday night. Stafford over passing yards, maybe. Rams over total points. Rams by the spread. You can put it all together. Same game parlay. Fast payouts. Easy to use. Safe and secure. America's number one sports book. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you're new to FanDuel, they are offering a risk-free $1,000 bet. If you prefer that, just sign up with promo code EXTRAPOINTS. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code EXTRAPOINTS. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. The Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342 in Arizona. Now the Thursday night game, guys, I'm sorry, I can't pick it here. I'm contracted to do it on Fox. I'm not contracted to win as many games in a row as I have, 9 in a row, and then they pulled the plug on the season. I don't know why they did it. This year they added a week. That's how good I was. They added a week to the schedule. But anyway, I'm going for 10 in a row. The pregame show Thursday night. Take a listen, take a watch. I'll give that out then. But check Who are you going with? The Rams, all of a sudden, a 2.5-point favorite, unless this changed in the last hour. Rams at Seattle, 2.5-point favorite, 54.5 is the over-under. My God, as bad as they looked last week and as good as Seattle looked, maybe trying to lure you in here. 2.5 will make you laugh. Where are you going with?
The 2.5 is interesting, but it's, by the way, the big picture for pro football this season is the complete irrelevance of home field. It's really weird.
Right.
The Chargers are given a 1.5 there, and like, what? Why would that? Well, because the visitors always have. By the way, that is uniquely Southern California. I love that the Raiders fans outweighed the Chargers fans. That's to be celebrated, not to be worried about if you're the Chargers. That's cool. Anyhow, I like the Rams, neutral site, in Seattle, raining, sunny, whatever. I will take the Rams. I do not like the Seahawks defense just because they beat a transitioning team, in-game injury to the Niners QB and all of that. Give me the Rams. And as far as in the spirit of the same game parlay, Robert Woods plus 130 to get a touchdown. That's a nice leg to add or bet independently. Sean McVay basically told you this week by saying, we got to get Robert Woods more involved in the offense. What do you think is going to happen? Robert Woods is going to get more involved in the offense. Touchdown.
Yeah. Always a fun game. All these West games are going to be good. And by the way, you had Arizona you like them this year. They're plus 160 now to win that division. Those teams are just going to beat the hell out of each other all year. That's I expect right. The same of this Thursday night game. The only thing I'll say is 12th man. Seahawks 7-1 last year at home without any fans. They lost their first one to Tennessee.
Oh, my God. Sal picked the Seahawks. He broke his contract.
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's the only thing I'll say. Martin, which way are you going here?
I think I'm going with the Rams here. I'm probably going to take the Rams, and I'll take the 2.5. It makes me feel better that it's not 3. But I just feel like Russell Wilson's incredible, and don't get me wrong. Seahawks defense leaves much to be desired, but the Rams came out, and I don't feel like they've really played. Like, they beat the Buccaneers, and they beat them pretty handily, but they haven't played really up to snuff in the last 2 weeks, obviously getting handled by Arizona. I just don't see Sean McVay going into Seattle. I feel like they have a good plan for Russell Wilson defensively, that – Kyler is just too fast. Like, that 3rd and 16, he's just too fast for Kenny Young to make the tackle. Russell Wilson doesn't have that same level of speed. I think the Rams defense bounces back tomorrow
night. All right. I mean, this was a playoff game last year, right? The Rams went in there. Goff started it, right? Is that how it is? He busted up his thumb, and Wolford won that game in Seattle. Was it Wolford? I think that's how it went.
Yeah, that was a wild card round. That was the guy's name. No, he got hurt.
No, remember, you have it backwards. Like
he got hurt backwards. Or Goff got hurt? Did I get it backwards?
Yeah, he got.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Goff got hurt at the end of the season. Goff got hurt at the end of the season and broke his thumb. And then 3 weeks later was the backup quarterback who was also active for the game, which was odd. John Wolford starts. Right. He had to go to the hospital. Broken That's thumb, Jared right. Goff comes in, and they win. And I was telling people at the time, that's how you knew Jared Goff was available. No starting quarterback is going to be the backup if he's healthy and able to play.
Right. Yeah, McVay was done with him by then. Yeah, I really should do the research. You're right. I'm asked to pick games on network television. I should know this, Martin. Okay, yeah.
Well, speaking of being Mr. Network TV, then you know the intricacies of the flex rule for prime time on SNF. When can they, how early? Because they bumped it up this year, didn't they? You can flex out of certain games. If the Seahawks lose this one and the Steelers lose to the Broncos, I think you would want to apply that if you're NBC to the following Sunday night. That game was supposed to be on national TV.
They moved it up early because, mainly because I don't think they said as much because the Aaron Rodgers confusion, right? They had the Packers all over the place, and they wanted to be able to throw Denver in if they could. But let me see. It flex starts week 11, 11 through 18.
Oh, it's that. Oh, I thought that they could bump it up earlier than that.
Additionally, in weeks 5 through 10, flexing scheduling may be used in no more than 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be the one. If Seahawks and Steelers both lose this week, you would not want that game, would you?
Yeah. No, you wouldn't. I just understand what I just read. It seems to conflict with the two statements.
Unless at halftime of that game, they're like, you know what? Yeah. Russell, guess what? You're traded to the Steelers because that is what's going to happen. He's not going to wind up maybe with the Steelers, but this is Russ's last year in Seattle.
All right.
Hear me now. Believe me later. This is it. He's done there. This thing is going to go south in Seattle. He's going to be one of the big name guys on the market. And Jason Luck and Fora, you're going to listen to this in a little bit as soon as we stop
here. That's
right. He forecasted Aaron Rodgers to Seattle. How about that?
Mm-hmm. I heard that. Wow. All right, let's stop, and I'm going to listen to it, even though I already listened to it. I'm going to listen again. That's minus three.
Thank you.
You could hear Dave Damashek, you could hear Spaghetti, Jason Lock and Four, you could hear Martin Weiss and TJ Houshmandzadeh on the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. The Against All Odds crew and I will be going at it tonight about the Thursday night game and other stuff. What else do we have, Babyface Joel Solomon? That's it. Check out extrapoints.com/arcade. You get all free-to-play games.
Baseball, yeah. Make the baseball bets on the arcade.
Do that and go to FanDuel.com/extrapoints for all your sports gambling needs taken care of there. And just a reminder for everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.